Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, I desire with God's help to read from the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter number 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. So in the past week, we've had Colossians open to us, Colossians 1, and then last Wednesday, we had Colossians 2 read and expounded upon. And as we look into chapter 3 here, if we reflect back on the last two messages from Colossians, we did hear in both messages of what Christianity is not. Christianity is not about intellectualism, about the philosophies of this world, and it's not about separatism, where you separate yourself as we heard that the monks do, thinking that if they separate themselves from the world, that they can then not be tempted by the world, but they take their heart right with them wherever they go. It's not about legalism. It's not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It's not about legalism or liberalism, progressive Christianity, as we call it today. We give it these fancy names of anything that doesn't follow closely to the Word of God. And so what is Christianity? And I believe Apostle Paul lays it out here. It's a shared life. It's a shared life with the risen Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus comes into our heart. And in the indwelling of his Spirit, he gives you and me, brothers and sisters, the strength to be overcomers. He does it. But we have to also, we have a role, as we'll see in here also. As he opens up this chapter, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, which really is, since you are risen in Christ, since you say you are a Christian, since you have been baptized, since you claim Christ, since you do, so you are now risen with him. That means you have identified with Jesus Christ. So, as you identify with him, as you are risen with him, because the resurrection of Christ changed the world, and it certainly gave Christianity a direction that it doesn't like to follow, likes to follow itself and its own traditions and man-made theories, and you have all kinds of ages of things that have taken place where a man in his intellectualism thinks that he has the answer to Christianity or how to be a better Christian or how to, and laying aside the simple truths that we find here, where he says, so what do you do if you claim you're a Christian? If you're risen with him, you have to seek those things which are above. So we spend a lot of time in the world, right? We spend a lot of time in the world, all of us. A lot. And the sad thing is, a lot of the world has already come into here, too. So it's hard to escape the world anywhere you go. Where is the place of refuge? Who allows the world to come into the church? Who allows it? We do. You and I. How? We're grounded here. We're too into the world, and its influences are dragging us for the ride. So he says here, seek those things which are above. The things of Christ are not going to be found with the philosophers of the age and all the different things that we heard. It's not going to be found there. It's Christ is all in all. It's in him. And you have to seek him. So seek those things which are above, he says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection, your love, needs to be set on those things which are above. Where? Above. Who's there? Christ. So your love, my love, has to be on those things which are heavenly. And so, brothers and sisters, let's look at our own drive, our own goals, our own everything, the efforts we put into the things that we have our affections set on. It's an enormous amount of time. And we become enslaved to our own wants. And we become very familiar with the world and very comfortable in the world. Remember that the children of Israel traveling through the wilderness decided, they just needed to cross the Jordan, and they're in Canaan, the land that was promised to them, the land of milk and honey described to them. All they had to do is cross the Jordan. But they became very comfortable in the wilderness, and they were content in the wilderness. Are we any different? Are we content here? If our affections are here, all they need to do is cross the Jordan. And they couldn't do it. All we have to do is set our affection on things that are above. And Christ will give them that passage over the Jordan as he will us. He says here, and he tells us what he does, for you are dead. That's God. That's God's work. That's not you and me. That's God's work. You are dead, he says. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That's our shared life that we have in Christ. That's a Christian. You don't need to be looking into all the commentaries of the ages and who had a better and, well, this is more modern. This guy understands a little bit more, puts it in today's English, and we dismiss the truths of the scripture. He says here, you are dead. Paul describes what being dead is in Romans chapter 6. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And he goes, if we drop to verse number 5, now we see what our part is. Mortify, therefore, he says, your members which are upon the earth. That's for you and me to do. We are to accept what God has done when we looked to him and put our trust and our faith in him. When we put our trust and our faith in him, when we followed him to the cross, he said, you are dead. Now, mortify. This, we have something to do. Mortify. Accept the fact that you are dead and continually, every day, pursue the things that are above. Mortify. Put to death the things that are upon the earth and what he names fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And he talks about, for these things' sake, for which things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And then he continues on, and he says, put off all of these. And he says, you used to walk in that time. That's what you used to be when you lived in them. But you can't identify. You're identifying with Christ. So as you identify with Christ, you have to put those things aside. You have to accept that you are dead. You have to mortify. You have to continually put to death those things, which are what? The character that you and I are all born with sin, born with, as we've seen, all of us have seen in a child, the ability to do sin, and he can't even talk yet. Didn't even know how to talk, and he knows how to sin. He knows how to lie. He knows how to say, no, I didn't. Did you take this? No. Who taught him that? It's indwelling sin. He's innocent. She's innocent. The child's innocent. But you see what he was born into. And there's only one that can take him out of that. And that's Christ. We know that. So he says, in which things you used to walk in the time, when you lived in those things, that's what you did. He says, but put off all these things. Put off now anger. How many times do we have bursts of anger? The meekest of men, Moses, the Bible tells us, born to a woman, was Moses. The meekest. God told him, speak to the rock. And Moses, you know what you and I would say. Yeah, but look what they did. Look how they irritated me. Look how the people did this. Look how. And he smote the rock. God still delivered the water. But he didn't tell him to smite the rock. In that moment of passion of himself, and we would say, come on, he was. Look, we're talking about Moses here. God said to him, you will not enter into that land. I'm going to show it to you, but you're not going to enter it. Now, you and I are going to justify our anger. We find a way. Because it's too hard to create new habits. Because these new habits, see, when we were born into sin, all of us, none of us were born with habits. We created all the habits that we have. However bad they are, we create those habits on our own. By following the character of who we are deep inside. And so what comes out is it creates in us for you and me to see each other who we really are. And our character is shown in the life that we live. And so if we continue with an anger, a habit of anger, we're just displaying the character that that's coming from. That's all. You can claim to be a Christian. You can say you're a Christian. And everyone does today. Everyone says, I'm a Christian. The question I think we need to just ask ourselves in all humility is, am I a Christian? Is this describing me? Is this where my affections are and the things that are heavenly and things? Right, I'm going to say, yeah. Okay, where's the life? What does your life show? The saddest thing is that our affections are on this earth. You know, if someone built a 15,000 square foot mansion, we would all ooh and ah over it. There'd be jealousy. There'd be all kinds of envy. And why? Instead of sorrow, there'd be envy. Why? That's crept into the churches. No question. That's worldliness. That's all crept into the churches. And it's been accepted. A lavish lifestyle is accepted and wanted and desired. And, oh, you feel like you're nothing if you don't have it. Why? Where's your affection? It's not where Christ is. Because Christ has no affection for that. Christ he came to die to take that away from us. He came to die to take that away from us. He says, put off all these anger, wrath, malice? To like think something towards somebody in a bad way that you wish something were to, you rejoice when something happens to them and stuff. Blasphemy. To put somebody down. To misrepresent their character. To take a story and make it sound even worse than what it really is. He says, lie not one to another. You know, you can lie by telling the truth. You can speak the truth and misrepresent it in a way so it's not as truthful as it sounds. It's a lie. It comes straight from the devil. And so, filthy communication coming out of your mouth. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You put off the old man with his deeds. Those are gone. Now, if we are dead in Christ, where are all these things coming from? Why does the old nature still want to come back? Satan is still there. He's lurking. We read recently, he's described as as one who comes to us as an angel of light. But Peter described him as a roaring lion looking to devour. He masquerades as an angel, twisting and turning, taking truths like we can do too. That's straight from the devil. He took truths that God spoke and misrepresented it to Eve. And we can do the same thing, and that's straight from the devil. And it takes us straight to hell. No, God forgives. Yes, he does. We live in the day of grace. We live in the day of grace. But Apostle Paul says, so what are you going to do? You're going to keep sinning so the grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid that we would ever lie and say, well, it's going to be okay. Who said that? That's straight from the devil. Straight from the one who is portraying himself as an angel of light. He said, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge And then, after the image of him that created him, Peter, in his epistle, also says, really, he says, according as his divine power he hath given unto us. Here's what he gave unto us. So here we what do we read? You put on a new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He gave us everything. You're not lacking anything, brother and sister. We're not lacking anything. He gave us everything that pertains to godliness. He gave us everything. And here it says, you have put on a new man, which is renewed by that which Christ gave us, everything of himself. He gives himself to us. We have a shared life. That's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lazarus died, but he was raised to his own resurrection. And he had to just die again. You and I, as we are born again and put on a new man, we're born again. And a new man is given the power on this side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where death, as we were reminded this morning, has no victory over us. None. So is that freedom? Is that freedom to hear that the grave is not a terrible thing? Death doesn't scare me. And so have we been renewed in knowledge? Are we pursuing the image of what the previous two chapters spoke about, who Christ is? The fullness of God. The fullness of God. The only way you and I can know God is because Jesus came and showed us. He showed us who he is in his own person. Why is that not attractive to a common man? Think about it. A good man. Jesus said there's only one that is good, and it's God, and he was God. He said there's only one that is good, and it's him. So he was a good man. You know, we say it to body, say, oh, he's a good man. And we know in the context in which we say it, it's not wrong for us to say that to each other, but about each other, to compliment someone and so on. But the true definition of Jesus, speaking of good, is God. And so if he is good, why is he not attractive? See, because Jesus doesn't promise a follower of his the things that the world promises. But in that hidden message from the world and Satan, who is the prince of the air, is that after the pursuits of these things comes death and hell. That gets lost in the shuffle. It gets lost in the busyness and the everything else. As our affections, though they may have been burning to the heavenly things, are slowly dropping, and we keep lowering and lowering the bar, which we didn't set. God set it. And obedience suddenly becomes a matter of choice. Well, I'm going to follow an old church, a new church, or this church, and that church, and whatever church fits me. There's a church for every, no matter what you want in your life, you can find it in a church. How sad. Anything you want, you can find it in a church. To the point now, it's turned into homosexual churches. Unbelievable. Churches that believe in wars, holy wars, or whatever they call them, just wars. They didn't learn those things from Christ, but you can find it. It's good. It's easy believism. You can find it anywhere. And you feel good. You feel good. I know I mentioned this one time years ago. I read a news article. There was a lady who was doing freebasing, coke, or I don't understand that stuff, but she got caught on fire. She was caught on fire. She barely survived. And she talked about God as she's a Christian. And she was also in a very nasty business that has nothing to do with Christianity or Christ. But she calls on the name of Christ. Everyone does. It feels good. You're attaching yourself to someone that you heard is a power. And so you attach yourself and you think you attaching yourself by calling, just saying his name, you think that's good enough. And then we drop our guard down on everything else. And then where it says here what we're to put on. And again, why are we putting on this? Because now this is the new character that is within us. Because God has cleansed us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are dead. You are dead. So now, put on. You got to put on new clothing. Because all the clothing you had on was filthy rags. It was all evil. It was all nasty. It was all dirty. So he says you put those things off. You used to walk with those clothes. That's how you used to show yourself, because that's what you were. But now there's a new man in you. And so now put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. As the elect, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. Paul says you're holy. So now put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness. That's a word that is lost in today's language. Humbleness of mind. Remember we talked about the 15,000 square foot home? Humbleness of mind. Meekness is lost. The world doesn't have a clue what that means. Who does? Who knows? Jesus. The one in whom is all power can be meek, but you and I can't. It's too lowly for you and me. But for God, it's not. And he showed us how to live. And he's not attractive to this flesh. Long-suffering, forbearing one another. No, gone is that anger, that outburst is gone. Why? Because I'm forbearing one another. We give grace one to another. We can forbear. I can forbear a little. I might not understand fully what's going on or how it's happening and this and that. I might have heard it differently. I might have that. You know, forbear. Forgive one another. We had the message in the Sermon on the Mount just a few Sundays ago about being merciful and so on. It says, forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, if you have any quarrel, he says, end it. That's what he says here. As Christ forgave you, you also do. So also do ye. In other words, the quarrel is over. It's gone. And above all this, put on what? Charity. It's the bond of perfectness. Brothers and sisters, if we put on charity, if we put on love, there's a guarantee from heaven that the peace of God will rule in our hearts. He says, let the peace of God. How? By putting on charity. The bond of perfectness. Why is love perfectness? Because God is love. And God sent his Son to die for you and me. But obedience is something that is a bad word in this world, in everything. Obedience is, you know, think of Joshua. So he meets the pre-incarnate Christ, and Christ shows him who the captain is. And he tells him, you're going to go to Jericho, you're going to march around that city 7 times, and the walls are going to fall. They're going to tumble down. Now imagine being Joshua, and your men are marching around the city, you tell them to go, and they go 1 time. And they go 2 times, and 3 times. It's undoubtedly he's going to have to hear something. Like, what is this nonsense? What are we doing here? We come to do battle. Like, what are we doing here? If he stopped at 6, the walls are standing. Did he listen? Almost to the end. He almost just didn't quite listen to the final letter. So what do our lives look like? Am I obedient 6 times around Jericho? And then the 7th time I give up? I went 6. It's God knows that I did listen for the most part. No, the walls are standing. You're defeated. You go 7 times, the walls come down, and you have victory. The victory is in obedience to God's will, to the knowledge that he imparts unto us through his written word. He gives us that. As he says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How's the word of God going to dwell in you richly and me? How's it going to dwell in us? Is our only feeding time here in church? Let the word of God, Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. That's when you put on charity, you can admonish me. You can, when you have charity. I want to accept it even if you don't have charity, because an admonishment is an admonishment. We should all be ready to always, we should never say, well, he didn't come to me in love. So what, you don't have to accept? Are you still wrong? Yeah, I'm still wrong. Well, then accept that. Accept that at least. But to be right, you go in love. As he says here, let the word of God dwell in you richly. You're going to teach. You're going to admonish one another. That's the bond of perfectness. Because I love you, I'm going to tell you, brother, you've fallen short. You've told this story. It don't add up. It don't add up. But it's not accepted today. Think about it. How often are admonishments accepted? So how far are we from this chapter that we're reading? How far are we from our identity in Christ, a shared life in Christ? He says, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. With grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed. Most of what you do in word and deed, no. Almost all of what you do in word or deed, no. All of what you do. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do it in the name of the Lord. If you can't put the Lord with you in what you're doing and saying, then don't do it and don't say it. That's it. Obedience. And you know, the Apostle Paul is laying out a beautiful example of what a Christian is. And we were actually encouraged this morning. I can just share it here, just so we know the context of it. It's been announced that Timo is a friend of the Lord and ready to be baptized. And the brother encouraged us. He says, "You know, we really need to be continual examples to our friends who gather with us, who look at us. We need to continue to be examples. That's a life that's in Christ. That's the only example that's going to be worth anything. The sad thing is we do leave examples, and they're not always ones that can be followed. Let's be honest and admit it and repent. Because God is a God of love and a God of mercy, and he does forgive those who come to him in repentance. My time is up, but dear ones, if we have set our affection on things above, if the old man is dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, we are the most peaceful people this world has ever known. We look forward to a day when we would be united with our Lord to see him, the one who saved us by his grace. You know, what is more attractive than that? Because it's inevitable every one of us are going to age if we don't die young. And as we age, the grave is coming clearer and clearer, becoming clearer and clearer. And you know you're going to be in there one day. And what are you going to face God with? What are you going to face him with? The one who came and gave the example, gave the word, gave us everything. Peter said, everything that pertains to godliness, he gave it to you. He gives us all things. No one can say, I didn't know, I didn't have, I didn't. No, we know everything. How much more do we want to know and learn? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. We have to seek it out. We have to seek him out. He's there for us. A shared life in Christ, brothers and sisters, is a life worth living. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.